But you know how loud I am. Pleasure to be back in front of you, and it's always good to be in front of your congregation. That's part of the challenge that I have at this moment, is that I'm preaching to other congregations the majority of the time. But I tell you, it's good to be in front of you guys, the people that I know most, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. I want to start tonight by giving you a little background on me. When I was a senior in high school, I was swamped in sports. Baseball, basketball, sports were my life, my entire career of high school. And so when I graduated from high school, I had all this spare time on my hands. And it was the summer between my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college. And I had too much time on my hands. I didn't know what to do. Sports were over with. I didn't play any instruments. I didn't have any hobbies. Sports were my hobbies. Well, some of my friends who didn't play sports finally got to hang out with the cool kids at the public school. They started hanging out with the people that were drinking, that were smoking, that were doing all these drugs, and that looked like fun to me. That life looked like a blast. And you know what? I was envious of them. I was envious because their life seemed so much better than mine. I had all these rules, I had all these regulations, and that was painful. That was hard, and I became envious of them. But there's a psalm that I wish I had known when I was fighting this envy that I had within. Turn with me to Psalm 37. And most of you probably know what Psalm 37 is. Psalm 37 is this compare and contrast of a wicked and a righteous man. And if I'd have just read this, if I'd have just believed this. Because I knew what was truth. I knew what I needed to do. But I didn't have trust. I didn't have faith in the Lord. And this psalm, Psalm 37, I want you, if any of you are in the audience that are becoming envious of anyone, read Psalm 37. Specifically, envious of wrongdoers. Let's start Psalm 37, verse 1. David writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." The first thing I want us to know from these first 11 verses is that there's no need to be envious of this person that's prospering, of this person that's doing these evil deeds, these wrongdoings. Don't be envious of them. They are fading away. Just like the grass and the flower, they are fading away. You see how pretty the green grass is. We've had all of this rain over the past few months. Well, guess what? If we don't get any rain in the next month, 2 months, it's going to be brown. It's going to be dead. It's going to be ugly. But yet, we want to be envious of that person. The person that's fading away, the person that will be dead, the person that will be cut off in verse 9. And this idea of being cut off is said throughout this psalm. And it's always coupled with someone that shall inherit the land. There's a contrast. Verse 9, look at it. "For the evildoers shall be cut off, But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. There's only two options. There's only being cut off, and there's only an option to inherit the land. And the righteous are the ones that will inherit the land. The meek will inherit the land. Not the wicked. Not the evildoer. Even though he seems to be prospering, he is fading away. And you think about those people that we can become envious of. You think about Friday nights. Our Friday nights are boring. Everyone else is out having a good time at the bars, out at all these dances. They're hanging with the boss, getting FaceTime with the boss to move up that social ladder. Here we are, we're sitting at home, nothing on TV to watch, no good movies to watch. We're bored. We don't delight in His way. We don't pick up the Bible to get our entertainment, if you want to call it that. Our passing us by, because it's not a passing us by with the Word of God. The Word of God is something that we need to delight in. That should be what we long for. But yet, everyone else's life seems smoother. His wife is so much prettier than mine. His wife cooks him dinner every night. His wife takes his shoes off when he sits down in the recliner. Her husband cuts the grass. Her husband plants in her flower bed. Her husband gives her massages. Her husband tells her he loves her. Her husband cooks. Her husband spends time with the kids. And we think, oh, if my husband or wife would just do that, life would be so much easier. So you know what? I think I'll get me a new wife. I think I'll get me a new husband. I got a better chance with someone else. You look at your boss and he's on wife number four and he seems all happy. He seems like everything is peachy. Four may fade away just as quick as one, two, and three. Know that they're fading. It's not any better for them. It may be a little more pleasing on the earth. May not have a wife bickering at him, because as soon as you get bickered at, you throw them out the door. But I tell you what, those people aren't the ones we should be envious of. We shouldn't be envious of anyone, but there's no need to be envious of someone that is fading away and will be cut off. Because the righteous, the meek, shall inherit the land. Those who wait for the Lord. Don't be envious of the wrongdoers. Don't be jealous of their life. Be happy. Be content, be satisfied. We just read, and godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's find enjoyment, satisfaction in godliness, in the ways of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, verse 4. But the second thing I want us to see is that these wicked people, these evil people that we so desperately want to be like, that we so desperately desire to have their life, they are seeking to do us harm. Pick up with me in verse 12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glories of the pasture. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by Him shall be cut off. You see, these people that we're so envious of, they are plotting against us. They're out to do us harm. They're gnashing their teeth. Have you ever been just so irate that, oh, I can't believe he would do that to me? Why did she do that? I'm going to get her. That's the way these wicked look on us. And why do they look at us this way? Why does the wicked look at the righteous with such disdain, such disgust, that they even want to kill them? They want to slay them. Why? Because it's showing they're in error. It's showing that their way is not acceptable. The Lord does not approve of their way. When someone at work, and this is a very real situation. We all know about Miss California, right, from a few weeks ago in the Miss USA pageant. She was asked about her belief in homosexuality, if homosexuals should be allowed marriage. And she opens her mouth by saying, "Now, I don't want to offend anyone." But guess what? What she was going to say was going to offend a lot of people. And what she said offended a lot of people. There were a lot of people around the world that gnashed their teeth at her, saying, "I can't believe she would say that. Ugh! Who is she?" But God says that. God says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And when someone in your office asks you that question, and you tell them that you believe homosexuality is a sin, it's not a personal preference, that it's a sin in the Lord's eyes. And you show them the Bible, you show them the Scriptures that say that. That doesn't soften the blow any to them. They hate you. They're going to be plotting to smear your name. How can I catch brother? How can I catch so-and-so in a wrong? He thinks he's all high and mighty. He thinks he's so good. I got to catch him. I'm going to get him somehow. And so they start plotting for you. They start trying to get you angry. They start trying to make you do things that they know you would not approve of and do. They're trying to get you. They're trying to kill you. They're not maybe not trying to kill you physically. It may get to that point. They may get so angry that they just can't stand it. They'd rather see you dead. But the death that they're really giving is a spiritual death. They're offering you spiritual death by you giving in to these evildoers, by you caving and doing what they say is okay, what they do on their own. We give in and we spiritually die. We defect over to the enemy's side of the Lord. And we saw what happens to the enemies of the Lord, right? They draw their sword to kill the righteous, but their sword ends up in their own heart. And they draw their bow and they've got you in the crosshairs. But the bow breaks. Arrow doesn't get out. That's what happens to the enemies of the Lord. They try to do something it doesn't accomplish. It isn't accomplished because of God. Because of the Lord. And the Lord is laughing. He's snickering at them thinking, "Oh, you think you're going to get my child this way? You got another thing coming. You don't understand." The wicked shall be cut off. The cursed by him shall be cut off. But the blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. The wicked will perish. They vanish like smoke. You all see smoke for a while, but it's gone. You don't really think about smoke after it's vanished, right? It's up in the air. It's a mess. You cough and all this. It's a hindrance. When it's gone, it's gone. And it's gone very quickly. That's the wicked man. That is the man that is trying to harm you. That is trying to kill you. But yet it's so tempting. Yet it's so tempting to do what he's doing because his way seems easier. His way means that he wouldn't be seeking after me. If I just gave in to him, if I started doing the things that they want me to do, I would no longer be ridiculed. I'd no longer be the odd man out. Think about the consequences of defecting from keeping and delighting in the Lord's way to being on the enemy's side. I don't think any of us want our own sword run through our heart. And so, the next set, David tells us how do you get over this? How do you get over these people that are trying to kill you? How do you get over these temptations that seem so great, that are so real, that are so in your face, that they seem like they would be so much easier just to give in to them? How do you get by? How do you overcome? Take refuge in the Lord. Pick up with me in verse 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. You want to know how to get through this? You take refuge in the Lord. When you take refuge in the Lord, He will not forsake you. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Never once have I seen one of God's forsaken. Never once have I seen His children begging for bread. We always have what we need. The Lord gives us what we need each and every day if we seek His kingdom. Seek first His righteousness. Everything that we need is added to us. God has promised that. He will be there. We'll need everything. We'll have everything that we need to get through trials, to get through temptations if we trust in the Lord. But he also says these people will be preserved forever. Verse 27, turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. Verse 28, for the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But notice the opposite of forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. Seen it over and over and over again. These wicked, these evildoers are cut off. But these righteous, these blessed by the Lord, shall inherit the land, and they'll inherit it forever. There's even a future for the man of peace in verse 37. There's a future. We all long for a future. We all think the future is going to be better than the past. That what's going to happen tomorrow is going to be better than what happened today. We long for a future. We want a future. For the man of peace, for the man of God, for the righteous, there is a future. But for transgressors, shall altogether be destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. There is no future for the wicked. Their future is being cut off. Their future is no more. But yet, their way still seems easier. Their way still seems like the best decision. A very likely thing that I could do and still be okay. He says, no. Delight in me. Trust me. Wait patiently on the Lord. But you know what? What we need to get through this is help, right? We need help to get through these temptations. Because we're being pulled from both sides. We're being pulled by everyone. One's got one arm, one's got another arm. We don't know which side to go. We know which side to go on. But it's hard to get on the Lord's side. It's hard to stay on the Lord's side when everyone else is tugging at us. But, verse 40, 39 and 40. The salvation, what we're all longing for, salvation from this wicked, salvation from temptation, salvation eternally, is from the Lord. He, the Lord, is their stronghold, their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. The Lord is the one that helps and delivers us through these times that are so unbearable to us. These times where we're just, oh, I know what I should do, but I don't want to do it. We take courage, take strength in the Lord, and realize, what are we doing? What are we deciding? Am I deciding for a little peace, a little happiness now, 70, 80 years? Or am I taking peace for eternity, forever? The Lord is the only one that can help us through that. We have to seek the Lord to deliver us. And the Lord will deliver us from the wicked because they take refuge in Him. And so, when you're asked the question, where's your trust? Where's your refuge? We'd all say, right, the Lord. God is my trust. God is my refuge. But does that actually, do we actually live that way? Do we actually live as the Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our strength? Because, you know, times are tough. Am I going to do anything to make an extra buck? Am I going to abuse someone? Am I going to borrow from someone and not give back and not pay back? Or am I going to be the one that's generous in my giving? Even when I don't have much, I'm still giving what little I have to others. That's the contrast of the wicked and the righteous in verse 21. Do we really think about that? That I'm just a take, take, taker. And it may not be money. It may be encouragement. It may be advice. You just take, 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 and we just want to take, 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 take from God. We just want Him to give us everything. But yet we're never willing to give anything to anybody else. We're never willing to give our advice. We're never willing to give help, to give encouragement, to give monetarily. We're never willing to sacrifice our own time for someone else because we're so selfish. Because we want our life to be easier. Because we think that's going to be harder on our life. Where's our trust? In that sense, we're not dealing with evildoers. We're dealing with people in the church. But yet, it's selfish. It's a selfish thing. Because we want to hold on to what we have and get more. Or, when you look at someone in the marriage situation, and someone, they just seem so happy. He and the wife get along so well. But you find out a little more, you get a little more information. And neither one of them have a right to be married to one or the other. And you find out about that, they're converted to the church. They're converted to the Lord. The rubber meets the road. Am I going to get out of this marriage? Or am I going to hold on to this marriage? Am I going to be envious when I look at them? Am I envious that they had this great marriage and that they should hold this together? Or do I realize that the Lord wants them to separate? Because their marriage is so much better than mine. What am I going to do? Or for us young kids, we've got people that are telling us that sexual immorality is the way to go. Do we trust the light in the Lord to know that He knows what's best for us? To know that it is our responsibility to keep ourselves pure. Gary talked about that last week to us. Do we really trust? Because those are trying times for us. May we take refuge in the Lord, knowing that He knows what's best for us. His will, His way is for our good always. Can we really take faith, really trust in that, really wait on that, wait on Him? He asks us to. He tells us to. We must. And then when we do whatever it takes to fit in, you look at how people get ahead in the social world, in the corporate world. And you think about all the backbiting that goes on. And you think about all the deceiving and all the greed. But yet they've got the house I want. They've got the car I want. They've got everything that I want. Am I going to sacrifice my scruples, the ways of the Lord, the delights of the Lord, for this fleeting pleasure that's fading away, for these things that make it seem so much better but are so much worse? What are we going to do? When you know to do right and you don't do it, to Him it is sin. We have to have faith that the Lord knows what's best for us, that His way is the best way for us. Let us not be envious of evildoers, of wrongdoers, or of other Christians, or just people in general that seem to have a better life. Don't be envious of them. Because if they don't have the Lord, they're fading away. They will vanish. They will perish. They will be cut off. And know that when they're tempting you, whether they're doing it on purpose or whether it's just their way of life, they are seeking to do you harm. They are seeking to kill you. Realize that. Realize that their way of life will kill you. Don't become an enemy of the Lord. Stay with the Lord. Delight in His way. And trust. Take refuge in the Lord. Even when it seems that His way seems out of date, seems crazy, seems radical, trust Him. Take refuge in Him. Delight in Him. Turn away from evil and do good. And then salvation will be for you. Salvation for the righteous will come. And so as I look back at my life, I really wish I had thought more about Psalm 37 when I was 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. It might have done something differently. I might have lived a different life. Are you out there and you're... The life of everyone else in the world is so tempting to you. It seems like it's a better way. And you're thinking of becoming envious of the others, of the rest of the world. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to pursue that envy? Are you going to pursue the passions of the flesh? Are you going to trust in the Lord? Wait on the Lord. There's a song that we sing. It says, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take courage. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Trust Him. And you'll get through your hard times. You'll get through your trials. Think about the differences between the wise man, the righteous, the man who speaks wisdom, and the babbling fool. Think about the eternal destiny, the cut off for the wicked, and the dwelling forever for the righteous. Think about that. But are you right with the Lord? That's what matters, is being right with the Lord, because salvation is from the Lord. And if you haven't been reconciled with Christ in baptism, you're not right with the Lord. It doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter that you're abstaining from these things. But if you know that Jesus is the Christ, and you haven't been baptized into it, you can do all the good things in the world. Salvation is still not yours. Do you need to make that need? Do you need to make that right this evening? Or if you've fallen into the paths of the wicked, you've become envious of the wicked, and you're living that life of the evildoer, and you don't want to live that life anymore. You said, that life is not for me. I know where that life is leading me. You can see the edge of the cliff saying, I'm almost there. I don't want that edge of the cliff. I want to turn back around. It can be done. You can turn back from the edge of that cliff. You can get your life turned back around if you trust in the Lord and keep His ways. Let's do that. Let all of us do that. So if you have the need this evening to make something right, we'd ask that you would come now as we stand and as we sing.